Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dev, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level? Bold with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with 5 nights at the round table. 5 Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Yo, yo, it's Thursday, April 12th, 2012, and we'd like to welcome you back to the greatest roundtable in sports. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and alongside me is the greatest starting five in the business, Akil Bayon, Jimmy Williams, B. Austin, and Paul Johnson. Tonight, we'll be talking about this Ozzie Guillen situation, the Bobby Petrino situation, and a lot more. But in the first hour, we'll be talking some playoff hockey with New York Rangers beat writer Andrew Gross, and we'll be talking about the grand opening of MMA in sport with one of its founders, MMA fighter Kyle Sefcik. As usual, we want to hear your opinions as well, so jump into the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. You can also call in and talk to us directly on the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. We always got to spread the love, so we'd be remiss if we didn't give some shout-outs to some of the best sports shows on the Internet. Check out Roy and Chris on the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Blog Talk Radio, and follow those guys on Twitter at the BS Line. Also, check out Brandon and Chris on Sports Trap Radio every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on ueradiolive.com. And you can also follow those guys on Twitter at Sports Trap Radio. If you love good sports talk, then check out our radio family when you get a chance. But right now, Jimmy's going to start us off with some birthdays.
It's my birthday. Yay!
What's up, gentlemen? How y'all doing?
What's up, Jim? What's up?
What's up? Chilling like a chinchilla.
It's ready to get busy and go to work, man. And for those who are listening for the first time and perhaps forgot, the birthdays are brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon, which is located at 9221 Oxon Hill Road in Fort Washington, Maryland. Some of you young ladies, you're walking around with your hair looking a mess, and you know we can do better. I mean, that's just it. We can do better. Some of y'all need to wear hoodies for a whole nother reason. But anyway, go see Lisa when you go to Days of Beauty Hair Salon. First birthday I want to bring up is one Theodore Ted Ginn Jr., who turns 27.
It's my birthday. Yay!
I'll start with you, Dr. Bayon. When I say Teddy Ginn Jr., what comes to mind?
Speed for no reason. Like, with all the speed that he has, like, he should have been like a perennial 1,200-yard receiver. The best he's known for now is returning punts and kicks. Like, he might not even be – he's like, what, the third best receiver on his team? Because I remember at Ohio State, they would just throw it up. The homie would go get it. But people knew that Gonzalez, the second receiver, was a better route runner. So by now I'm kind of disappointed that Ted Ginn isn't a perennial 1,200-yard receiver.
You know, what's funny is the first thing that comes to mind for me as well is speed. That's the first thing I thought of. As soon as I saw his name come up for his birthday, I said speed. You said as well. So, Dev, what's up?
First thing I thought of, no disrespect to the brother, is fast trash. Ted Ginn has no discernible wide receiver skills except for speed. And in a lot of cases, you know, that's enough. Al Davis made his name that way, you know, for a long time. He just get a bunch of fast dudes to play for the Raiders. But Ted Ginn should be a better – I mean, he gives you value on the, you know, on the special team, so – I guess he's not as much trash as I'd made it out to be. But as far as receiving goes, yeah, he's not that good. What they say on that movie, The Program, just another gangbanger with speed.
Shout out to Teddy Ginn Jr. on his birthday. The next birthday I want to talk about is one Bradley Allen, Brad Miller. He's better known as Brad Miller. He turned 36.
Yay!
Wow, Brad Miller, 36. Dev, I'll start with you this time. When I say Brad Miller, what comes to mind?
I remember when Brad Miller was actually one of the better centers in the league. I mean, that ain't hard to be in here, but still. Yeah, he was always a tough-minded player, didn't seem to take no guff off of nobody. Now, I really don't see much value. He's just a hanger-on, just getting that NBA check. Other than that, I don't know.
Yo,
Brad Miller for you.
Is he still in the league?
Yeah, isn't he on a roster, Kel?
I believe so. I think he might be like somebody's 15th man or 14th.
I'll look it up. We got Austin in the building. His namesake.
That's crazy. I didn't know he was still in the league. That's funny because now I watch all the games. I haven't seen him play this year. But
you're not going to see him play.
Brad Miller was nice on NBA Live back in the day because he was a big man that could shoot the outside shot. But that's all I pretty much have on Brad Miller. Doc Bay.
Yeah, he's on the Timberwolves roster.
Yeah, there you go.
He's in the Timberwolves roster.
Oh, that's why he don't get no burn then.
He's only appeared in 12 games and started in one. But White Moses went to the hospital last night, so Brad Miller might see some burn this week.
Oh, it's not.
He got elbowed in the head by somebody.
Yeah. Austin, what are you going to say?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that.
I think he muted off.
My bad. Yeah, I was going to say that.
Go ahead and finish.
Yeah, with Brad Miller. I think back to my Chicago Bulls in the early 2000s where we had Brad Miller at the starting center, who eventually became an all-star. We had Elton Brand at the starting power forward, who eventually became an all-star. We had Ron Artest at the small forward, who eventually became the all-star. And we had Jamal Crawford in the backcourt. So I'm thinking with those four guys, like if the Bulls just would have, you know, held on to the Cats, take our lumps and let us grow and win, you know, that's three all-stars we had right there and a sixth man of the year. So, yeah, that's all I got to say about Brad Miller.
Not Jerry Reinsdorf.
We say also
Brad Miller was nice, man. Real skilled, not much athleticism, though.
Everybody a kill name just now was nice.
Well, at some point they were. I didn't even realize that they all owned the Bulls at that time. That's a good observation, Kill.
Yeah, Brad was nice, but now it's just his birthday.
Still a lot of time on Brad Miller. Anyway, let's go to the next birthday. One Thomas Charles, a.k.a. Tom Werner, who turned 62. Dev, I'll start with you.
My birthday, yay!
Tom Werner, what comes to mind?
Tom Werner of the Werner Group. He's another guy. I remember when we did a birthday for, like, Wayne Huizenga. Werner used to own the San Diego Padres. Now he's the chairman of slipped my mind real quick. Other than that, though, you remember when you used to watch The Cosby Show and at the end it said a Werner Casey production?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was homie. That was homie.
He's been getting cheap for a long time, huh?
Yeah, he getting cheddar. A lot of better cheddar. Another one of those super rich cats.
Yo, I just like the fact that the War Room is cool with the rich people. Yo, happy birthday, Mr. Werner.
Doc Bay, you got anything with Mr. Werner?
Yo, I'll be honest. Oh, go ahead, Dan.
Oh, no, I was going to say he's the chairman now of Fenway Sports Group, the people who own the Boston Red Sox. And they do some stuff over in Europe, too. So they bought the Premier League.
He's a behind-the-scenes power broker. I didn't even realize he had anything to do with it. He's a chairman.
They own Liverpool, too, the Premier League team, Liverpool FC.
Oh.
Yeah, he
I'm
getting
trying to get Tom Werner money, man. Anyway. Tom Werner. But anyway, go ahead, Doc. Is something you
want
to say?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, when I saw the name come up, Tom Werner, I was like, Hero? And then I went and looked him up, and I was like, dag, homie is one of these behind-the-scenes half-a-billionaire type chats. Like, he's worth $600 million, and you can see he bought the, part of the Red Sox. I mean, he bought part of the San Diego Padres, then the Red Sox, then Liverpool. I didn't even know he had anything to do with the Cosby Show, so he's just one of those behind-the-scenes $600 million type dudes.
But it's not just that. Listen to some of the shows back in our day, back in the 80s, when we were kids. listen to some of the shows he has something to do with. Mork and Mindy, Bosom Buddies, Soap, Taxi. Yeah, Taxi, The Cosby Show, Roseanne, Third Rock from the Sun, and That 70s Show.
Well,
so he had a lot of hit shows.
His residuals got to be crazy, man. Only thing I got to say to Mr. Werner is if Mr. Werner, if you happen to hear this, man, let me hold something, yo. That's all I got to say, yo.
He bought the prize raise in, like, 1990 for $75 million. Let me see
yo,
you do that.
He getting that versatile cheddar.
Yeah, pretty much, man. Shout out to him on his birthday real quick in our chat room. Leroy McConnell says that one more thing about Brad Miller was that he was Shaq's punching bag. So we can't forget that, man.
Shaq actually missed that punch. Shaq can't
fight. He did miss that punch. Yeah,
he, like, punched him in his earlobe or something like that.
He smacked up.
Shaq let a guy that wears a dress slam him.
Yo, I was waiting for somehow for Austin to turn this and say something like negative about Shaq. I was like, how's he going to do it?
Oh, you know, as soon as Shaq's name came up, it was coming.
As soon as Shaq's name came up, I was like, he's going to find a way to slander Shaq. Let's see how crazy he can be.
Yo, I like Shaq, man.
By the way, I just finished Shaq's book from our sponsor. It's amazing. It's hilarious. But anyway, the last book that I want to talk about is pretty much an RIP shout-out, the one Ralph Wiley. Who lived from April 52 to June of 2004. He was an inspirational sports writer, specifically for African Americans. He was one of the top dogs, and I remember a lot of his writing. Anybody want to say anything about Ralph Wiley?
Yeah, I got something. Like, and speaking of Shaq, he actually died during the 2004 watching the 2004 NBA Finals. That's where he had a heart attack watching the Lakers. Yeah, watching the Lakers versus the Pistons in game 4. So shout out to
he wrote a book with Spike Lee called By Any Means Necessary: The Trials and Tribulations of Making Malcolm X. He wrote a book named Serenity, a boxing memoir. Why Black People Tend to Shout. and I remember him a lot from the Sports Reporters. He used to be one on that cast a lot.
He used to write on ESPN too. ESPN the mag, page 2.
He's very influential. I actually know somebody, a young guy, who's trying to break into the business as a football analyst, and you know he was kind of studying up the life of Ralph Wiley, and I told him that was a really good point of reference for him. And you know,
I just really appreciate everything that Mr. Wiley did to show make the connection between the physical side of sports and the intellectual side of sports and its value socially. So, you know, shout out to him and rest in peace. And may we always enjoy your work.
Hey, yo, real quick, Jimmy, you said you had a heart attack yesterday?
No, I said watching that Lakers-Pistons series when the Pistons was kicking me behind. But I had one, too. No, it's funny because the Lakers had all the talent, but the Pistons were like the consummate team, and it was like, you know, just embarrassing.
Yeah. Who won that series?
That series was bogus.
Who won that series? The Pistons kicked their they ran them up and down the court. It wasn't even close.
4-1.
Like,
the only one they won.
That was the end of Shaq and Kobe's reign. They were like beefing with each other during the game.
Yeah. Remember the only game they won is when Kobe hit that shot at the buzzer.
That three.
He hit that three to give them one game. Other than that, Detroit destroyed them.
Yeah, and also Leroy McConnell says that Ralph couldn't stand Stephen A. Smith. So another fact about Ralph Wiley. Rest in peace to Ralph Wiley. And those are the birthdays, again, brought to you by Daisy Beauty Hair Salon. Dev, tell everybody what happened while they were on the grind.
All right. While y'all were on the grind, it's brought to you by Philly Auto Design. You can check their website out at PhillyAutoDesign.com for the hottest selection of wheels and tires on the internet. Just want to give a quick congrats to Bubba Watson for winning the Masters. I believe he was 4-under, 68, to win the Masters. He really wasn't expected to win. Tiger fizzled out pretty early, so congrats to Bubba Watson. You know, the talk when Tiger won the tournament the week before was, you know, is he back? And now it seems like the talk this week is, Tiger's done. Like, it's like a what have you done for me lately world, but we already knew that.
What have you done now?
Yeah. What are you doing at this very second? But, you know, Isaiah Thomas was fired late last week and had a banquet at the sports banquet for FIU. As soon as when they were about to play the highlights from the basketball season, the basketball team got up in a single file line and walked out of the banquet in protest because of Isaiah's firing, along with the whole staff. Like they fired Isaiah and told his whole staff to go with him. He was 26-65 in his three seasons with the Panthers. I just want to ask you, fellas, like when Isaiah destroys a program or an organization and he gets fired or leaves, there's always some love from somewhere in that organization. Like, why is Isaiah, like, is his personality that magnetic or something?
Yo, it's funny because I've read this story as well as seen the video of them getting up and walking out. First off, it was very awkward for the guy who was announcing the highlight. I felt bad for him because it was just so awkward. But to hear some of the students speak, they say he was the first father figure they'd known. And you're talking about guys who won basketball scholarships, and some of them look like kids who came from dysfunctional families, for lack of a better term. And Isaiah to them, it was more than just a coach-player relationship. That's what some of the players stated. So maybe his personality is that magnetic. I mean, remember, he had a great personality as a player as well, and everybody seems to love Isaiah,
yeah,
with the exception of Magic. For that.
The players need to realize, though, the school is in the business of trying to get wins. And when you hire an Isaiah Thomas, somebody who used to coach, you know, he's an NBA Hall of Famer. He used to coach in NBA,
yeah,
front office.
But they're young
NBA.
Men. They don't think everything through. They're acting on emotion.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's kind of like besides the obvious, you know, media spectacle that it probably caused when they hired him there, maybe trying to get a little bit of attention. You know, they expected in three seasons for Isaiah to be able to turn that place around. He is Isaiah Thomas, so recruiting should come a little bit easier to him, in my opinion, of course.
When you start to appreciate or fall in love with a coach, so to speak, you act on emotion. I mean, I almost flipped out when Coach Taylor got fired initially, and that's off a TV show.
I did flip out when Coach Taylor got fired.
I flipped out. That's a TV show.
Yeah, I'm a Dylan Panther hater for life. Smack them.
Yeah, see,
I don't like
them.
I ride with the Lions, yo. East Dylan, all the way.
You both. Maybe you both. They should never be coattailed like that. But I digress.
Yeah, I was going to say with Isaiah, I think what was funny, when he got hired, they said they had signs up, you know, FIU, fire Isaiah University. Then they had signs, basically, F Isaiah University. And so those are some jokes there. But my thing is, with Florida International, they should not have expected to increase their wins from the standpoint of the conference that they play in. Yeah, you have Isaiah Thomas, but why is that kid that could go to Florida going to go to FIU, or that can go to South Florida in the Big East, or go to Miami in the ACC, or even go to a Florida State in the ACC for FIU?
To play for Zeke. Yeah. To play for Zeke.
Yeah.
That's what they were banking on.
Yo,
like, we probably can get kids to come here just because Isaiah Thomas is here, and it didn't work, so they're going to take it out on him.
I didn't realize that FIU was a Division I program. So I was surprised, and when I looked at the size of, like, their center, he was about 6'5", and, you know, I didn't really have much expectations. I really don't know what to say. I'm not surprised that Isaiah got fired, because there's only so much that charisma can do to keep your job.
Yeah, but here's the thought, though. How long does it take to rebuild a college program? It's not like he walked into not even a big school. Let's say it's some school like a Purdue or a Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I mean, how long does it take to rebuild?
Oh, you're absolutely right. Your point is absolutely well taken.
Yeah,
I think really in this day and age, that's not considered. Like, I really think, honestly, that it takes 5 years, really, to build a program. Like, it takes 5 years.
Yeah.
But in this day and age, you're never going to get that time because, like Dev said, it's a what have you done for me now type of situation. Unless you're Calipari
come in. Calipari come in. FIU going to the Final Four in 2 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But Calipari, you know, Calipari is he's putting that bread out. Like, you know that you're going to get a good, you know you're going to get a good at least $2,500 a game if you're playing for a Calipari institution.
Hey, Brad, he's putting out that, Brad, putting out that Baylor.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point because Isaiah was under so much scrutiny leaving the NBA, he probably didn't break any violations. He probably did everything
right.
on 100% up and up, which probably hurt him in their recruiting war.
Yeah, they probably expected – they were probably looking at him on a, with a fine-tooth comb and under a microscope. So,
you
know
– hurt him.
Some of those recruits –
hurt him
like,
in the recruiting war. I don't think FIU was even invited to the war.
Yo, all right, so what you're saying is that FIU is like the equivalent of Maryland Eastern Shore.
Yeah.
I'm saying they've been 26 and 65 over the last 3 years. I mean, I don't
those
know how Eastern Shore would have done in that conference, but, hey, it is what it is. Zeke, like I said, he always leaves with some love. So let's move on to the next story, though. Warren Sapp has filed for bankruptcy. The court filings show that he owes more than $6.7 million to creditors in back child support and alimony. He has supposedly $6.4 million in assets, which includes over 200 pairs of Air Jordan sneakers. Since when have Jordans become assets?
Yeah.
Hey, man, we got to do better, man. To even listen,
yeah, my man reported his Jordans is assets. See, that's how you.
You know what? I'm gonna take the devil's advocate side of this and say that because of Nike and Brand Jordan's tremendous marketing efforts, they're able to keep their old product lines relevant, and you have all of these idiots that will buy a sneaker that was released 15 years ago at $120, they'll now buy it for $160. So that justifies him listing these sneakers as assets because as an athlete, he probably got them at a discount, maybe had a little side deal with Brand Jordan at one time. So they truly are assets.
I totally understand that you are a Warren Sapp fan and you're trying to justify this. I like you, root for all fat people, so I'm a Warren Sapp fan
Warren Sapp ran a 4.6 and ran Charlie Garner down from behind 30 yards downfield.
Yo, hey, but also, that don't make Air Jordan sneakers assets.
I will say that I remember like the last Jordans that came out, it was some like purple special ones. Cats bought them for like I want to say like 200 or 250, and was selling them online for like 3,000, 5,000, and 7,000. And people were fans just for those one pair of shoes.
Listen,
I was like, are you stupid?
Listen, I get you, Ken, but see, it depends upon how you define an asset. And B. Austin is a big-time banker, for those who don't know. He gets money. But some people define assets as only things that can actually create capital for them. Not so much retain value, but create capital for them. And I don't understand how a Jordan is going to be actually making money for you. I just don't get that. So
I guess like a painting. I guess like a painting or a card or a baseball card.
Yeah, I get that. But some people don't even consider them assets. So I guess it all depends on how you look at it. So with that being said, Warren Sapp, FOH. Whenever he came out of listed assets, that's what I was going to hear about, you know, rental properties and all kinds of shares of this he owned.
From an income standpoint, yo, the dude is making $115,000 a month. So,
well, Leroy said
also,
in the chat room, he said, well, NFL Network is not renewing his contract, so he ain't making nothing right about now.
Yeah, so they're not renewing his contract. That was his, you know, I'm not sure if they were paying him all that income because he probably has a nice pension as well. But it's funny because, like I just said before, and I have to, like, keep bringing this up, but I just finished reading that Shaq book, and when they talk about his portfolio, no, they were talking about his portfolio, and then the one Shaq story I see the next day, I'm like, yo, it's just crazy. Some people get it and some don't. And I guess it depends upon who you have around you.
That's funny too, Jim. Same here, because I just finished reading When the Game Was Ours, Magic and Larry with Jackie.
So you hear about Magic's portfolio?
And they put they listed Magic's portfolio in there from 2009 and back. Like, imagine how much is added to it now, especially with the baseball team and everything.
Yeah,
Sapp also said
like
he lost his 2002 Super Bowl ring and his 91 national championship ring with the University of Miami. Now, did he lose that, or, did he hawk that?
Where is he hiding?
Here's something else I thought about when this story came out. He's also in trouble for child support, so he could just be lying his anus off because he don't want to come up off that bridge. You know what I mean? So this could be the story they're reporting. Who knows what he has hidden?
Yeah.
Let's just go with that. Let's go with that story.
I'm down. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on real quick. I couldn't find when I was talking about him smoking his rings. I couldn't find that sound bite, that Flavor Flav, John. Jimmy, guys, let me know where that is.
Hey, yo, Chuck, you must be on the pipe, right?
All right, so that's it for Sapp, and he probably don't have he doesn't have a job anymore. So Baylor basketball, men and women's program. They were put on 3 years of probation for recruiting violations. Now, these recruiting violations basically stem from over 1,200 impermissible phone calls and text messages during a 29-month span. One of the main subjects in this whole thing is when they were trying to recruit Brittany Griner on the women's side. So they gave themselves some self-imposed penalties, and the NCAA went along with it. The most glaring of it is that men's coach Scott Drew, he's suspended for two Big 12 games next year. The women's coach Kim Mulkey will be prohibited from recruiting off campus for the entire summer recruiting period, which is the whole month of July. And the women's program has lost two scholarships. So what do y'all think about Baylor and their troubles recruiting?
Like, I think the bigger issue here is, why are they allowing a tall man to play for the women's team?
I'm leaving that one alone. But what I will say is this: it's funny when I heard this story. I'm like, who else did they get? I hate when I hear stories about violations. And of course, though, Brittany Griner is the most dominant female college basketball player, possibly one of the most dominant ever. But I hate when I hear stories about this and, like, they don't have that much success. Like, I want to hear Coach K with a violation. Then it would make sense that you violate the rules if you win multiple championships. But, yo, you ain't won.
Well,
it's not even worth it. Like,
as far as the women's program goes,
they just
put up the most wins, wins in the undefeated season of all time.
They did,
men or women.
Yes, they did.
40-0. Now, the difference is, like, the men's team, they don't have a track record of success, but like people were mentioning to us on our page earlier in the week, like you have all of these schools in Texas who've been more successful over the years in basketball, and now all of a sudden Baylor's winning some of these recruiting battles like out of the blue. So you had to know something was going on, but in recruiting, I don't understand the whole call text message thing anyway. Okay, I called the dude a couple of extra times. Like, that's all it takes. I mean, you had to say something on them calls, like how much bread you was giving them or something, to pry them away from some of the bigger schools. So,
Now, this is another thing, people don't fail to realize, but ever since, remember Carlton Dotson, the Baylor player, killed his teammate, Patrick Dennehy, back in the day? So at that point, like, nobody wasn't trying to go to Baylor. And this was, like, the early 2000s. So even me, I was like, man, like, who would play for Baylor? Not that you would get killed playing for Baylor, but it just put a black cloud over Waco. It put a black cloud over Waco. Like, and that's David Koresh. Remember, David Koresh and the Branch Davidians, they were out of Waco, too. So not only do you have David Koresh in Waco, that situation, then you have a Baylor teammate killing another teammate in Waco. Then all of a sudden, they're having the best recruiting class ever in the history of their program. So, that raised the red flag.
Waco just has too bad of a reputation for them all of a sudden to get all the recruits, men and women. I understand where you're going with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know that they're a powerhouse in track and field, but They don't investigate track and field because no one cares. They're okay in football for obvious reasons, but yeah, I'm a little surprised and shocked. You know, on another note, Howard University's athletics, all athletic programs have been suspended indefinitely.
No, they haven't. That was the initial report. It's just a lot of players ineligible right now.
Oh, a lot of players.
Yeah.
Okay.
They didn't shut down the whole thing. We rapped about that last week.
I was afraid.
I mean, it's not like it meant anything. If they do shut it down, who's going to miss it? But
the point is, if you're going to violate, make it worth it.
Basically.
Yeah,
so
Jeff, real quick. And then, Brad, y'all know how the Howard school store is, what a new one. I guess what it was, cats were getting their books in the school store, but then, like, getting some sweatpants and sweatsuits and devices, you know.
That was something we talked about last week, because the whole thing was over book vouchers. And I'm like, what else, you know, besides in the school store, what can you do with that? But you could sell a book voucher to, you know, other students for less than it's worth. Try to make some money off of it.
And we have a comment on Twitter from Kevin Lang, at Skyview Kevin. He said, it's funny how when you become a winner, all of a sudden investigations begin. He said, nobody's investigating FIU.
But you know what it was? They probably like, how they get, you know, Brittany Griner? How come she didn't go to Tennessee or UConn or something like this? We got to see what's up with this.
Yeah.
So she got some extra phone calls in there. So in answering a question from some comments Ray Allen made about being compensated for Olympic play, Dwayne Wade kind of went all in yesterday, saying that he thinks he thinks that the basketball team should be paid because they sell a lot of jerseys and stuff like that. He kind of backtracked today, expressing his love for his country, and that's why I want to play. It's not about the money. What do you guys think about that? Should the Olympic basketball team be paid?
I think if the regular athletes aren't getting paid for the Olympics, then the NBA athletes shouldn't get paid for the Olympics. That's all.
There's two ways to look at that, though, Kill, because what he attacked, and I for the record think Dwayne Wade is a noodle and he wears the opposite sex clothing. But if you look at the points that were made, the other participants, how are their jersey sales? How is merchandising? It's not like the U.S. Olympic team folks don't capitalize on it and push it, and it is because of the star power of the players. Just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, but at the same time, in my opinion, it's a choice. If you don't like the fact that they're not getting paid, decline the invitation, because you kind of can't have it both ways. You have all these players on TV speaking so highly of the fact that playing in the Olympics is such a privilege and an honor, you know, and to play for my country and to represent my country. Okay, you can't say that and then in your next interview talking about, well, I think we should be paid. It's either or. Like, be about your country or be about your money. But saying both seems kind of like a conflict of interest, because don't show love to the country. Like, personally, y'all know me. Like, I wouldn't be the one out there showing all this patriotism, you know.
So if I said
I wanted some dough, you couldn't knock me because I don't be out there looking like, you know, Captain America. So, you know.
Listen, man, how I feel about this, I mean, if you feel that way, just don't play. Either, like, pay me or don't play, man. This is America, and, you know, it's a capitalistic society. So if you feel as though you need to get compensated, you know, for your playing, so be it.
I know.
I don't
y'all
feel
rich.
One way or another. My thing is, if you feel that way, just stay on your ground. I don't want to hear you flip-flop. That's all I'm saying. If you feel that way, feel that way.
Jimmy, they as a group, they're rich enough. Go out and buy an island, make it your own country, and y'all play in the Olympics and, you know, pay each other.
Yeah. You start your own little country.
Start your own country. You know what I mean? One more thing on that story was that LeBron James actually when they asked him about the whole thing, his quote was, I love representing my country, man. I've done it since 2004, and I'm looking forward to doing it in London. As far as pay, I don't know, man. It just doesn't matter. I'm happy to be a part of the team to be selected again. So it's like, LeBron, this is usually flip-flop. usually LeBron's saying something that's going to get everybody all up in arms, and Dwayne Wade kind of quelling the fire by saying what everybody wants to hear. Like, we don't know if LeBron really means this, but I think he's been through enough in the media to understand, like, I ain't going to put my foot in my mouth. That's D-Wade talking. it's whatever. All right, but that's what happened, everybody, while you were on the grind. PJ, you want to tell everybody real quick how to get in touch with us before we get our this interview with our guest?
Yeah. Not a problem. Y'all want to check us out? Y'all can start at our website, warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. You can click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, you can email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the Memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise. Then click the Blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All Fair in Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple devices. Watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. You can also join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. While you're at it, click follow to make The War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with the host, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk, because pressing 1 is like raising your hand, and if you raise your hand, we just might call on you.
Yes, sir, we will. All right, so we all know the NHL playoffs are now underway. All of us here are Philadelphia Flyers fans, and we had a great comeback win last night. I was hyped. Did you guys watch that game?
Yeah, shout out to Brent Easley, who was on our Facebook page talking about how bad the Flyers were going to lose. So shout out to him.
Well, he was talking about the series. I still think myself, I mean, the homers might get mad at me. I still think Pittsburgh.
He definitely was.
Team.
Anytime I get to take a shot at Brent, I'm going to take it.
Yeah, especially for not coming on and doing a baseball preview for us. You're about to get fired, homie. All right, but anyway, that was a great night of hockey last night. Vancouver, the number one seed in the West, you know, they took an L to the eighth seed. But, you know, that's why they have series, so the cream should rise to the top, and I hope the Flyers remain, you know, in control of this series. But right now, we're going to talk to a New York Rangers beat writer, Andrew Gross, for the Bergen County Record in Jersey. We had him in the War Room a little earlier to talk to us about the Rangers' chances and just the NHL playoffs in general. Andrew's appearance is brought to you by Audible. So is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Well, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you got to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you could be listening to the latest bestsellers hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done at the very same time. Just like Jimmy was mentioning earlier, he just finished reading Shaq's book, but he wasn't really reading. He just finished listening to Shaq's book on Audible. And if you want to do the same thing, just sign up for that free trial and see how you like it. But now we're going to get to our interview that happened a little earlier, because the Rangers are actually set to face off at the top of the hour, so we couldn't have them too close to the game. So we're going to get to the interview with Andrew Gross. But on the line with us is Andrew Gross, New York Rangers beat writer for the Bergen County Record and the man behind the popular blog Ranger Rants. Andrew is joining us tonight to talk about the Rangers playoff run that gets underway in mere minutes. Andrew, you're in the War Room. This is Devin. How you been?
Hey, Devin. What's up, buddy? How you been?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. I'm 8 months in, getting used to this daddy thing. But
I was actually thinking about you the other day. I was on a flight back to Minnesota. I was like, "Where's my buddy Devin here?" So
yeah, I was out there once this year too.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I'm a little sleep deprived these days, but it's getting a little better as he gets older.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I got two of them, and they're 15, and the other one's going to be 12 in about a month. Just appreciate it, because it goes by way too fast.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, since the last time we spoke to you, you know, a lot of things, you know, have happened, especially with the New York Rangers. We had the Winter Classic. We had the HBO 24/7 leading up to the Winter Classic, which was a great show. I mean, you know, we're all Flyers fans here. The Rangers have been owning the Flyers all season.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess we can get right into it, you know, so we can hurry up and get you out of here. We got some important stuff going on there tonight. We last had you on around the All-Star break of last season, and at that time the Rangers were clinging to the seventh seed, and when we asked you, you rightfully said that you felt the Rangers weren't yet a contender, you know, at least at that time. This season, the Rangers have led the Eastern Conference for most of the year and finished with the number one seed, actually leading the conference with, I believe it was 109 points.
Right.
You have to be thinking a little differently this time around. So
I'm
not
going to
ask you for a specific prediction, but if you had to give it a percentage, what would you say the Rangers' chances are of hoisting the cup this year?
I would say right now, just because it looks like the road to the Stanley Cup is going to have to go through Pittsburgh in the Eastern Conference, and the Rangers have had a little bit of trouble with the Penguins over their last four games against them this year, I'd say the Rangers maybe have like a 10% chance or so at this point. I clearly think they're one of the two, three best teams in the Eastern Conference. Right now, it may be them, it may be the Penguins, and it may be the Devils. And, you know, depending on how it shakes out, the Rangers might have to play both those teams, you know, possibly the Devils in the second round if it breaks correctly, and then possibly the Penguins in the Eastern Conference Finals. So, obviously, the path in the playoffs is never easy, but the Rangers specifically could have to face two teams and a third in the Senators, who just are such a good skating team that those are the kind of teams that give the Rangers issues. The Rangers certainly won't have an easy pass through, but yeah, no, I mean, they're a legit contender this season.
Okay.
Well, Andrew, this is Jimmy. How are you?
Hey, Jimmy, what's going on?
All right. I just want to ask you, you just mentioned the Senators, and I know Rangers face off with the tough Ottawa Senators a little at the top of the hour. So in terms of that series, what are your keys to victory for the Rangers, not just this game but throughout the entire series? What players do you feel need to shine in order for the Rangers to move on?
Well, you start, obviously, as you always do in the playoffs, in net. And, you know, Henrik Lundqvist, if he plays at the level he's played at this season, should give the Rangers a decided advantage. You know, Craig Anderson has had success against the Rangers throughout the course of his career, both in Ottawa and with Colorado. I think his numbers are like 7-3-1 with a 1.87 goals against, which is really good. But that said, there's no way Craig Anderson should outplay Henrik Lundqvist in this series. Beyond that, the Rangers, I think their discipline is going to be key. They need to play a physical game and wear down the Senators, who, like I said, skate better than the Rangers. But if the Rangers can beat them down and you know, just wear them out, they stand a better chance. That, you know, you're looking at the Senators' top line, you know, specifically Jason Spezza and Michalik. You know, those guys can score and they can skate, and they've given the Rangers fits, and they've given the Rangers fits on the power play. So if the Rangers start taking some bad penalties, the Senators could really take advantage of that. You look at guys, you know, who's going to be key in the series, the Rangers' top defense pair of Dan Girardi and Ryan McDonough are going to log some major minutes. specifically whenever Spez is on the ice. And they're going to have to play, you know, Girardi was an all-star this year, so he's going to have to play up. You know, for the Senators, Erik Karlsson, if he can score at the rate he did during the regular season, that's going to be a bad sign for the Rangers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Andrew, you kind of answered my next question with the first question, but I'll ask it again for the people who, you know, who are just tuning in and maybe didn't hear it. But we basically know who the standings say is the Rangers' toughest competition, you know, in these playoffs. But we also
right.
know that come playoff time, the seeding sometimes are rendered meaningless. So, again, who do you view as the Rangers' toughest competition to get out of the East?
Yeah, you know, and I think it's a very good point, you know, especially when you compare, like, you know, the NHL to the NBA. I think in the NBA you can accurately predict how the playoffs are going to go based on the seedings. And I think in the NHL, once the teams are seeded, you kind of throw everything out the window because it's almost not an upset, you know, an 8 beating a 1 or 7 beating a 2. You see it almost every year. You know, I look at the Eastern Conference standings. Like I said, I think the Rangers are a legit contender because they have Henrik Lundqvist and they have Brad Richards and Marian Gaborik going really well. You know, going down the list, the Bruins are the defending Stanley Cup champs, and they were kind of my pick at the beginning of the year to kind of break the mold and to be able to get back there. They've just had a really odd season, and I think it you know, they got off to a slow start, which was to be expected because of the Stanley Cup hangover, and then they were looking really good. But I really think that Tim Thomas Whitehouse thing really threw them for a loop. I don't think they've recovered from that yet. They just haven't played well. They haven't played consistently.
You think it was that big of a distraction?
I really do. I think Tim Thomas kind of, you know, screwed the pooch there a little bit. you know, regardless of what teammates are saying, you know, he kind of, you know, in hockey especially, it's a team unit. There right. should be no one bigger than the team unit. And Tim Thomas, you know, chose what should have been a great day for the Bruins to make a political statement. And by doing so, he kind of set himself apart from the group. And once a group is fractured, it can sometimes be tough to put it back together. So, you know, so I'm a little bit off the Bruins bandwagon. They're going to be a tough out, but you know, if the Rangers play them, what I like when the Rangers play a team like the Bruins or the Flyers, teams that want to play a physical style, the Rangers can play that style better than those two teams right now. So, you know, I don't think those are going to be the... Yeah. I don't think those are the tough outs for the Rangers. You know, the Florida Panthers are the third seed in the Eastern Conference. They have one line, and they have some issues in net. You know, they basically won a bad division. They won a division that no one seemed to want to win. You know, you look at them, what do they have? They have 18... losses in overtime. They got 18 points out of losses. And, you know, I just think that's a flaw in the NHL system where a team can actually be rewarded for losing as much as the Panthers did. I really think the Devils are going to handle them very quickly in the first round. Then you got, you know, probably the marquee matchup of the first round, the 4-5, the Penguins and Flyers. I mean, both of those teams, you know, could be legitimate cup contenders, and one of those two teams is going to be eliminated in the first round. That's kind of tough. I think it's a kind of a tough break for the Flyers to get stuck in that matchup, given the way, you know, the Penguins have played over the last month or so of the season. So, you know, I really think that, you know, in the East it comes down to the Rangers and the Penguins and the Devils probably having the best shot of reaching the Stanley Cup final.
Okay.
Look it up. I just have one quick question. We know how hard it is to make predictions while having a rooting interest. Because if you pick your team, people call you a homer. If you pick against them, the home fans get mad. So we want to ask you to predict the Eastern Conference, unless you really want to, and you kind of did already. But we want to ask you to tell us who will be representing the Western Conference in the Stanley Cup Finals, in your opinion.
Boy, the West is really tough because, you know, while I can kind of weed it out, you know, in the Eastern Conference, I could probably make a legitimate case for maybe 5 or 6 teams in the Western Conference to get to the Cup Final. I mean, you know, I love the St. Louis Blues. I watched what they did to the Rangers. In the, you know, they beat the Rangers 4-1 when the Rangers went to St. Louis. I think it was in December. I love the Blues' size. I love their goaltending. I think Elliott might be dealing with a little bit of an injury issue right now. But I just like so much about the St. Louis Blues. I like a lot about the Vancouver Canucks. You know, if the Sedin twin can get healthy, and I don't know what the status is there. You know, they're as good as they were last season when they went. You know, they went to Game 7 of the Cup Finals. So you can make a case there.
Before they
just like
burn
the
city down.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, and for the record, I was not there that night. So, and just like in the East, the West's 4-5 matchup, the Predators and Red Wings. To me, that's a series I would love to cover. I think that goes 7 games, and it's kind of a toss up which way that goes. And you can make a case for either one of those two teams, you know, having the depth and the skill to make the Cup Finals. And, you know, it just goes on and on. You can't throw out the Blackhawks because they've done it. They've been there. Even if it's, you know, half the team that got there a couple of years ago and they have goaltending issues, they still have the core of what got them to a Cup Final. And, you know, no one talks about the Phoenix Coyotes, but think about the mental toughness that those players in that room have to have. They won their division, but they, you know, those guys, and I was out there, I talked to them, they don't know where they're going to be next year. You know, and they've dealt with this for 2-3 seasons now, and they just keep getting better and better. I don't think you can underestimate how tough a team the Coyotes are and how good a goalie or how well Mike Smith is playing in that. So I think they're a legit contender too. You know, we talk about the San Jose Sharks every year, and every year is supposed to be their season. I don't think it is this year, but, you know, given the way Mr. Murphy deals with this planet, I'm assuming that this will be the year that, you know, the Sharks shock everyone and they go to the Cup Finals, you know. And, you know, in L.A., if you could ever get any goals out of that team, you have a goalie in Jonathan Quick who could lift the Stanley Cup. So I just think the West is stacked compared to the East. If you ask me to pick a team coming out of there right now, I'll probably go with the Canucks because that's what I picked at the beginning of the season. But like I said, you can pretty much make a case for any one of those teams, 1 through 8.
Okay, well, as usual, Andrew, you've been a wealth of knowledge. But look, before we let you go, you could tell our audience where to find your blog, Ranger Rants, and how they can contact you on Twitter.
You can find Ranger Rants if you go to www.northjersey.com/sports. You look for the pro hockey tag, and you should be able to navigate your way to Ranger Rants, updated daily, usually updated 2 or 3 times daily. On Twitter, people can follow me at A Gross, G-R-O-S-S, like Sam Record. So A Gross Record at Twitter or however you get there, but that's my handle. We were talking in the room today. The Ranger players were basically ordered, and we're pretty sure it was Coach John Tortorella. He told everyone, no more Twitters. You know, no more tweeting during the playoffs. Everyone's taking a 2-month break from tweeting, hopefully, for those guys. Right? So we were joking.
I mean,
in the press.
24/7, but, you know, they shine the light on him, and I really like his personality.
Oh, he's one of the more interesting guys I've ever covered. I mean, he sometimes after 2-3 days straight, you need a day off because he's so intense and he kind of grinds on the media a lot. But, you know, he's never uninteresting. But even when he comes in and he doesn't say anything, he says nothing probably in a more interesting way than, you know, the most mute person in America. So.
All right. All right, well, thank you very much for, coming back into the war room. We really enjoy having you. We want to wish the Rangers good luck in this playoff run, of course, you know, unless, of course, they have to go up against the Philadelphia Flyers. Other than that, good luck, and if they do end up hoisting that trophy, of course, we'll have you back on and we'll help you celebrate the Rangers win, of course, much to the chagrin of a lot of Philadelphia fans, but hey.
Well, hey, my pleasure, Devin, Jimmy, everyone. Thanks for having me on, and enjoy the playoffs.
All right, thank
care.
You. All right, that was Andrew Gross, beat writer for the Bergen County Record. He covers the New York Rangers. He's a wealth of hockey information. So we like to have him on, every once in a while to give our audience some hockey knowledge. But, fellas, we already have our next guest on the line waiting and ready to go. So we're going to go straight to Kyle. We got our homie, Kyle Sefcik, MMA fighter, entertainment company entrepreneur, all kinds of things, but we'll let him tell it himself. Kyle, you on the line? Can you hear us?
Yeah, man, I'm here and I'm blushing already.
How you doing, man?
Kyle, what's up, man?
What's up, Kyle?
What's up, guys? Hey, before we start, man, I just want to really thank you guys for coming out to my last fight. You meant a lot to me.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Oh,
no
man.
Doubt.
No doubt, Kyle.
Oh, go ahead. Awesome, sir.
I was going to say, I want to get a T-shirt made up. The last thing you said to me as we were leaving the dressing room was, I swear to God, I was just getting started.
All right, man. It's true, man. I was just getting warmed up. You know it.
All right. That's what's up. But, before we get started, Jimmy, you want to tell everybody who Kyle's segment is sponsored by?
Absolutely. Kyle's segment is sponsored by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, your Android phone, your BlackBerry, or your Palm phone. Some of you who have a Palm phone, please get an upgrade, but that's a side note. Anyway, the latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Click on the Stitcher logo on our website or go to Stitcher.com/The War Room to get the application for free. With that being said, Devin, let's get right into it.
All right, Cal, we just want to, first of all, congratulate you on the upcoming grand opening, finally being upon us.
Well,
I know this was a labor of love, so basically tell our audience what services MMA and sport will be offering once the doors are opened on Saturday.
All right, well, once the doors open on Saturday, our grand opening, we are going to have all kinds of services, and obviously with the title MMA and sport, that's what you can basically expect. We're going to have stuff like MMA, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Muay Thai, cardio kickboxing, boot camps, CrossFit, sports-specific training, and kids program.
Wow. That's
going
to be
we're going to have it all here, man. We have plenty of space and plenty of great instructors that are ready to go with this and take this area to another level.
One stop shop. You got to do.
There you go. Hey, people want the most they can get in one spot. This is perfect.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Kyle, this is Jimmy. I want to say again, congratulations. And from our conversation last time, we know that you're a businessman. You had a DJ business. You're opening up a school. You're fighting. You're doing a little bit of everything. What was your inspiration for opening up your own school as opposed to just, you know, belonging to another school?
Well, I mean, the inspiration for this school alone is, I mean, when I started MMA and, you know, really started to understand, like, sports training and really, you know, grasp the real understanding about this, it changed my world upside down, not just in the physical sense, but most importantly in the mental way, man. Just everything opened up in a whole other light, you know, making things possible. You know, you see physical changes in MMA, you see physical changes through all these all the training and stuff. But like we talked about last time, it's the whole mental aspect, man, the way you can see, you know, the sky's the limit. You can do anything in this world. So really what the inspiration for that came is just that I want to give that back to, you know, more people. And, you know, the students I've already had, you can already see it in them. And once you get – you see one person's life changes through this and another person's, it just becomes like a pattern, becomes addictive, and you just want to do that because more than money, more than anything else, you know, changing people's lives for the better, I mean, that's the inspiration right there.
Okay, sounds cool.
Hey, Cal, your website lists two other instructors in addition to yourself. Could you give us a brief martial arts background of the school's instructors?
Yeah, we're very lucky to have Cesar Paredes. He's from Ecuador, and he is actually going to be running our Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, or also known as BJJ. It's a shortened, you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He's going to be our, you know, head BJJ instructor. His background is wrestling, boxing, and obviously growing up in Ecuador, he's fighting every day. But BJJ, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, he's actually, there's a guy named Pedro Sauer, you guys might have heard of him. He's basically another Gracie brother. If you know the Gracies, they basically brought Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu over here. Hoyce Gracie, who was one of my first Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu instructors, he started the UFC. Anyways, they're a pretty big deal. If you don't know anything about the UFC and know anything about MMA, Gracie brought that over here, the Gracie family. Anyways, Pedro Sauer is who we're affiliated with. Well, Cesar is one of the head guys at Pedro Sauer's school in Virginia, and he's going to be our head guy here. So it's a very, very, very big deal and a very big blessing to have Cesar here because, honestly, I've rolled with all types of people in the world, and he's one of the best guys that, you know, I've ever gotten a chance to roll with. So, I mean, we're very blessed to have him here.
Cool.
Good,
so that's Cesar. And then we got somebody else named Justin Grubby, who's one of my best friends and also a fighter of mine. He will be teaching the sport-specific training programs with all the schools and all the athletes that come in here, you know, the CrossFit. If you've seen this guy on my website and stuff, he's just, you know, a beast when it comes to it. And, like, just an overall natural athlete. And, once again, like, just not just as a best friend, but as an instructor, it's great to have him here as well.
All right. So that's all your instructors.
Yeah, we're keeping it small to start out because we're very picky with who we have here. We want people that not only, you know the deal, they set example, they lead by example, not just talk about it, but they are about it. So we're very picky for who we have here. And honestly, man, I'm getting calls every day, emails every day with resumes, people that want to work here, people that are you know, good at MMA and stuff. It's just, we're very picky who we have representing us here in MMA and sport because, like anything else we do, we want to be the best.
Quality over quantity. That's always best, man.
Exactly,
I feel it.
Exactly.
Kyle, this is B. Let's switch gears just a little bit. What's happening? What's happening in the octagon? How have your group's fighters been doing in competition?
Oh, they've been doing awesome, man. Actually, the weekend before last, we took a guy out there to Virginia for some fights at Operation Octagon, and he won the unanimous decision, just another great showing by one of our guys. Right now, out of all my students, I have about 9 guys that are actually competing and fighting, and we overall record of all of them is 15-5, which means that out of every 4 fights, 3 of them are wins. So that's a great thing, you know, to have. And I'm very lucky to have such a great team, you know, training with me and not just making me better, but, you know, make everybody else better and represent our school in a great way. We're not even, you know, a school yet, you know, until this Saturday.
Sure. Good. Good.
Yeah.
They're doing great.
Yeah. Do you have any upcoming fights, or are you just concentrating on MMA and sport for a while?
Well, I had, you know me, I like to do it all, and I wanted to make April, like, a huge deal. I almost took a fight, actually, April 14th. A month ago, they offered me a fight at Shoguns in Baltimore, which is a great event, a great pro event, obviously. And I was going to do it, but I talked to a lot of people. They're like, listen, Kyle, you got two huge events with KSF Entertainment. You got your huge, you know, MMA and sport you're building up. You got the grand opening on the 14th. Don't try to do too much. So I took their advice, and I didn't do that event. But at the end of the summer, I will have another fight at the next Shogun. So it will be another local Baltimore fight, unless I want to go somewhere else with it, which I am getting a lot of other offers. It's just whenever I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go. And obviously, I want to make sure that, you know, I train appropriately and have enough time to get ready. But for right now, the next couple months, you know, I'm going to be starting this school training. I still got a lot of my students at fights coming up. So, you know, I'll put them first over me any day. So I'm going to make sure I'm training them, getting all these students in here, getting the school started in the best way possible before my next fight. Because those fights are always going to be there, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
True.
So be ready by the end of the summer to come out and, you know, have some fun with me.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And, you know, before all of your fights, you know, we'll always have you on so we can promote the event and stuff like that.
That's awesome.
But, yeah. You are quite busy. This definitely would have been the wrong weekend to take a fight.
Kyle's getting Magic Johnson on
right now with his hands in so many pots. But I like it. I love it. All right, but
yeah.
before we get you out of here, tell our audience everything they need to know about the grand opening on Saturday, the time, address, any special guests, special offers going on, your website address, everything.
All right. Well, first of all, this Saturday, it's in Damascus, Maryland, and it's at MMA and Sport. You'll see signs all over. So if you get to Damascus, you know, it's not that big of a place. You'll see the signs, and it's obviously MMA and Sport. It will be 12-3, and what it is, it's just a grand opening. We'll have some demonstrations, you know, with all the different types of classes. People can see what they might be interested in, stuff like that. We'll also have, you know, free drinks, free pizza, and we have Jimmy Cone, which is a very popular ice cream place out here. They're sponsoring. They're going to have some ice cream for everybody. And we're going to have, obviously, one of my DJs here, you know, spinning some records. It's going to just be a great get-together for everybody to get the feel and the energy of this place. And basically after this weekend, you know, it's going to be the place to be. So we just really want a good kickoff, 12-3 on Saturday, where you can meet the instructors, meet other people that are going to be part of the family here and stuff like that. So it's just a big get-together. And then Monday, that's when all the classes start. So other than instructions, meeting the instructors, and having some good times here on Saturday, Monday is when it all goes down. There's
cool.
Also,
and the website address is www.mmaandsport.com. That's A-N-D on the website address.
That is correct.
Yeah, we're definitely we're actually in the process now of trying to move some things around. So a couple of us might try to make it out to Damascus on Saturday. So
that would be awesome. Yeah, I got some, you know, I got some gear for you guys and everything, you know. And I also like to throw it out there that this Saturday for, you know, the people listening in and stuff, this Saturday is going to be like a once in a lifetime deal for this place. We're going to have like 40% off the normal price of what it's going to be. You get a free shirt. And there's no sign of cost. So those people, you know, we're not about like income. It's okay. We don't need a lot of money here. We just want people to get a few, you know, be able to afford it. And that's why this Saturday we're throwing this huge, you know, deal for everybody so they can see what this is all about and just be part of something big, you know.
All right, you heard that, everybody. 40% off. So, you know,
you need to make it out there.
Yeah,
if you need to learn how to fight, this is the best price you're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not just that, you know, we teach fighting gear, but this place is going to be a place of, you know, character and, like, discipline and learning how to protect people. Like, on Saturdays, we have free women's self-defense classes, so that's another thing to put out there. Like, for anybody in the world can come free every Saturday, free women's self-defense, you know what I mean? We're also going to have a nonprofit organization for at-risk kids here. We're going to have all kinds of things here so that everybody can benefit from it, especially the community.
All right, that's cool, Kyle. Make sure you keep us posted on everything you guys are doing, and you know we'll definitely promote anything you need us to promote for you. We want to congratulate you again, and we want to thank you for once again appearing on the show. You know you're welcome anytime. Hopefully we'll see you on Saturday.
I hope so. Can I give a couple shout-outs real quick?
Oh, no doubt.
Of course.
You know, my mom, my dad, and, of course, my little sister, Kaylin, I love you. I told her I'm going to give her a shout-out. So that's her, K-Baby, what's up? And then my brother. And then obviously the people listening in right now, that they're my biggest supporters, and I love them, you know. So those are my shout-outs, and I appreciate everything. And I can't wait to, you know, take this to a whole other level, and I appreciate everything.
All right. We're going to be right there with you. So we'll probably check you out on Saturday. Thanks again, Kyle.
All right, guys. Thanks. See ya.
All right. Take care, Kyle.
All right, Kyle.
That's what's up. That sounds like it's going to be the place to be. You know, free
classes
for the ladies.
Yeah.
You know,
you learn how to rumble for free.
Yeah.
This ain't, hey, and you got to tell our listeners, this ain't Dragonfly Jones.
I am Dragonfly Jones. But, purse snatch is going to be getting the ass whooped. Free lessons. So.
Uh-huh.
All right, so let's get back in gear. Back to our regularly scheduled program. Jimmy, you want to get us in? Well,
yeah.
Real quick, I'll let you guys know that you can check out our website at warroomsports.com to call in and speak to us about any of our topics that we talked about tonight. You can dial the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. We get you on the line, and we talk to you. So call in.
Yeah, by the way, Brennan called in. He hung up. He was trying to call in to defend himself. So, Brennan, if you're listening, call back in, because if not, we will continue to slander you.
Yeah, we did have a lot of callers on the switchboard while the interviews were going on. We couldn't interrupt the interview. So whoever has something to say, call back in. We're here.
Yeah, no doubt. So let's jump into some hot topics. First thing I want to talk about is the NBA Players of the Week. Dev, who were they and what were their stats?
All right, the NBA Players of the Week for the East was Miami's LeBron James. That seems like it's getting back to normal with all the people that, you know, been getting it lately. And for the Western Conference, it was Rockets guard Goran Dragic. He's the dude, when he played for the Suns, remember Derrick Rose banged on him real nasty with two hands. LeBron led the Heat to a 3-1 week. He averaged 30.5 points, 5.8 rebounds, and 5.5 assists, and 2.3 steals. That's actually a down week as far as rebounding and assists for LeBron. Dragic helped the Rockets to a 3-0 week. He averaged 20.7, 8.3 assists, and 3 rebounds, and 2.7 steals. He reached double figures in scoring in a career-high 18 consecutive games. So, like I've been saying the last few weeks, seems like the standards are down a little bit on NBA Player of the Week. I guess they're tired of giving the award to the same dudes every week. But congratulations to Goran.
Yeah, Goran and Raymond are the NBA Players of the Week. Yo, when you watch Dragic play every once in a while, you're like, yo, this dude can be a player. And then, you know, fades into obscurity. So,
yeah, it's like there's a disconnect. There's a disconnect there somewhere, because he does have his moments. Like, he'll put up 18 and a quarter, and then he'll disappear for the next month.
18 and a quarter, though? Just that. Yeah, he definitely has flashes where you think that this guy's going to be a player, and then he just like, I guess every once in a while, he doesn't want to let you know that if he wanted to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Kevin Hart.
Well,
I can be in the NBA if I wanted to.
kind of like
Jose Calderon. But with him, it might not be flashes. It's just that nobody ever sees Toronto play, so he's probably doing it every night.
We all know what Jose Calderon is doing.
Why is there an NBA team in Toronto? Could anyone explain that to me? Why?
Move him or contract him. I vote for contraction.
For contraction, but if you can't contract him, at least move them. Like, you know what I'm saying? Give him a second team in Philly. I mean, a Mount Airy Raptor or something. Anyway. Let's get into some juicy news real quick. Let's talk about Dev's homie, Bobby Petrino. He's being fired for his abuse of power. Dev, break the story down for everybody.
All right. Bobby Petrino, of course, like Jimmy said, was fired on Tuesday. And basically it was for misleading his bosses about the affair that he was having with a former volleyball player who she attended Arkansas to play volleyball. What is she, 25 years old now? Of course, they didn't fire him for having an affair, because that's basically not their business. But he actually hired this woman into the football program, and there for this job that she got hired for, her name is Jessica Durrell. There was 159 applicants, and she got the job, and they explained that the time frame in which she was, you know, which she got the job was shorter than usual. There was also a $20,000 payment that he paid to her. I'm not sure if that was out of school funds, you know, because that is a state school, so that would actually
it
be
wasn't.
State funds.
It wasn't.
Okay,
that was just
mistress money. That was just
big yeah, mistress
money. Okay,
Myra,
so basically
Myra
the job
money.
That he gave her. Okay, so he got into this motorcycle accident.
Myra money.
And he tried to cover up the fact that she was actually with him when he got into this accident. So, you know, he misled his university for about a week, for about 10 days, before they actually found out that his mistress was with him when he got into this accident. So what do you think about this story? Like, first of all, did it warrant a firing? And
yes.
Once we get around to it, you know, let us know if you think Bobby Petrino will ever, you know, hold a D1 big-time job again.
Yes, because dude is... Yo, he's an unscrupulous dude. Like, he's a liar. He'll get hired at a gig, tell the gig how much he loves him, tell the players how much he loves him, and then he'll be off interviewing at other gigs at the same time. And he'll just
slime
peel off like what Jim Irsay's dad did with the Baltimore Colts. Like, he does, like, Petrino does that every year.
Sounds like a typical American to me. I'm just saying. The thing is, if you can't abuse your power, what's the point of having it? But with that being said, in our chat room, Ranked Top 5 wanted to know that Jessica is nice, in his words.
Oh, yeah, we got to look that up and then put her. She was actually engaged at the time to somebody else who worked at the university. This guy was, his name was Josh Morgan, the athletic department's director of swimming and diving operations. So how do you think this dude feels? Like, she running around on him for this old fart.
Wait, hold on, Deb. We all know, as former athletes, if you hoop or you play football, you trump a swimmer.
He
might have been the Michael Phelps of campus. He might have been like Lester from the movie Casino when Sharon Stone was taking money from Robert De Niro, and he was a broke bum, and she was giving it to Lester because Lester was laying it down. So dude might be Lester.
But I think
the firing is warranted because I think, like the story says, there were like 150 applicants for that job that Bobby Petrino was very integral in the hiring of her. And, I mean, he just hired her because he knew her. So there was definitely a conflict of interest. And I think he told them that he didn't know her or something. He told the administration that he didn't know her. So that compounded with the fact that he lied about what happened when it did happen. And the fact that he's a leader of, like, young men. I mean, I guess they probably just had to let him go.
Yeah,
yo,
because, like,
major,
after you do this
major.
Stuff, how do you demand respect in your locker room when you're trying to discipline these guys? You know,
yeah.
Like, you do stuff all the time and you don't get disciplined, so FOH coach. But I think
how
the
major,
hire was definitely
how major
like
is her yamage?
Hire.
How major is her yamage to get $20,000 out of Petrino and he didn't even misappropriate funds?
His pockets?
No, it was his pockets, Jimmy. He didn't use didn't use school funds.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I mean, the thing about it is, like, the yamage is very powerful, man. It's the power. No, let me be quiet. But you see more powerful men fall because of the power of the yamage. You know what I mean? You've seen governors. You've seen one of our sitting presidents, you know, get in trouble.
Yeah.
It's what it is, man. It's something that's inside of.
I mean, let you guys
really
know.
Yamage.
Let you know how much he gave up for the yamage because all because of the fact that, you know, he gave her a job, you know. That's what they're using as far as why he got fired. So the guy Long, I believe he's the athletic director, he said Petrino was fired with cause. So that means he won't receive the $18 million buyout that his contract calls for.
Right.
So, you know, that's a $18 million affair right there. Well, $18,020,000 affair.
Yeah.
He gave her $20,000.
He's going to ask for that $20,000 back.
You asked a great question, which was, will Petrino coach again in Division One? And my answer to that is absolutely. And here's why. Number one, everyone knows his reputation as a scumbag and a dirtball and a man of no moral integrity.
You sound like a chick out
there. They also know his reputation as a winner. He turns programs around. And what is the bottom line? The bottom line in college sports is it's as big as professional sports. It's revenue is the driver, and wins drive revenue. So he's a winner. He will get a job again. People will take note to his skill and ability. And the other thing is to rank top five. When I was an undergraduate, I specialized in feminine corporeality. So I can tell you that volleyball players, track athletes, and dancers, they're usually major, brother.
I'm by winning. I win here and I win there. Now what?
You know, it's sort of like in our chat room, Leroy McConnell said the poontang is a powerful drug, man. Says the downfall of all men. Think about it. Our president risked everything for some warm mouth. So
yeah,
like,
his wasn't poontang. It was top. T-O-P.
Yeah, he was getting that warm mouth. But at the same time, it's like,
on.
He risked everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, because you win, and probably when he was getting the warm mouth, everything else is excluded. Like, he separates himself from everything else that's going on in the world. Think about the process of what's happening to you during that. Like, not to get graphic, but when that's happening, you could probably care less about pretty much everything else that's going on.
Not me. I'd have my presidential BlackBerry in one hand, and I have my presidential iPhone in the other, and I'd be calling y'all, telling y'all I'm sitting in the Oval Office, and she is humming.
Getting your Bill Clintons. Yeah.
But what Austin said is exactly right, though. Somebody's gonna take a flyer on you because no matter how bad your reputation is.
Jesus,
it only takes one team, and he had a 21-5 record over the past 2 years, and I think Arkansas ended the season ranked number five in the country, and they got that Cotton Bowl win over Kansas State.
Oh,
so, you know, all that stuff
is going to
factor
fly.
In, man.
Definitely.
Yeah,
this
university.
Schools have a worse reputation than he does.
Yeah, university.
And
win
and
games,
he's known for two things, Dev. He's known, one, as one of the premier play callers in all of football, and that includes the NFL.
His recruiting
is impeccable. They got a great
within
class.
A year, if not within a year, definitely by year number two, he's going to have a job somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you guys remember when Petrino, left Louisville for the Atlanta Falcons, and then by week 13 he was telling the Atlanta Falcons, FOH, I'm going to Arkansas. So,
yeah,
this kind of stuff,
man,
you got to expect from this dude.
Petrino be riding around and getting it. Like, he go wherever the bread is, man. And he's going to get paid. Like I said, there's a lot of programs out there who have just as bad of a reputation as he does. And like Austin said, it's all about winning. And that's the one thing he does. I mean, he does win.
Did y'all see his neck brace?
He was at Notre Dame. Wasn't he at Notre Dame at one point?
Did y'all see his neck brace and his face after the accident?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
He looked like
he
got...
You know what? Apparently, she wasn't messed up, though. He looked like he got sent through a meat grinder. Yeah, he got sent through a meat grinder, man.
Yo, he looked like he got stomped out by Jimmy Conway.
He got stomped.
She was in that fight giving him a reach around. There's no way that he got messed up like that.
She was doing a snatch and grab or something because she just walked away on the jump.
She's a volleyball player, so she probably did something athletic to get up off of it.
She played with
the volleyball players wear the best uniforms other than track.
Yeah.
The short
I'm
track.
Sorry.
Absolutely
I'm
absolutely
track.
Do.
I think we got a comment on Twitter from Mike Jordan. Yeah, we asked him, what are your thoughts on Bobby Petrino? He said, my thoughts is he's that dude.
Bobby Petrino.
He got a girl half his age, engaged.
That's the answer from a
I
want
to know what's going to happen to the Myra. Is the Myra going to go with him, or is the Myra, going to go back to swimming?
I'm pretty sure they're not going to allow her to
take
the job that she didn't earn in the first place. But the guy Long, when they asked him, he really wouldn't address her situation in the little press conference that he was doing. So that is a good question. But the rest of the media, they're asking the same question because he wouldn't answer it when they were questioning him about it. So.
Did y'all know that his text messages that got him released? They call that the Freedom of Information Act. Shout out to Stephen and Barbara Jones. But they released all his text messages. It was 4,300 text messages and only 300 phone calls to the chick. And these guys on games all time to the morning.
They said he farmed her.
Like 5 a.m.
I heard that he farmed her. I heard he sent a picture of his kibbles and bits. Like Brett Favre.
That's the word,
man. That's the word it is. They
sure
said he sent his kibbles and bits with no milk.
Plus they they were already getting it in, so it's not a big deal for him to do that. Favre was just volunteering, just doing it.
He was like,
Favre sent
him through to get your number, and it's the first thing he sent through. You know what I mean?
He said a good morning text with his hammer. He said a good morning text with his hammer pictured in there.
Yeah, man. It's crazy, man.
It's top of the morning, too.
Privacy no more, man. There's no such thing as privacy.
Yeah.
The thing is, Jim, this is probably only like the second biggest story of the week.
Yeah,
that's
this
the crazy
is true.
Part.
This is true. This is true. This is absolutely true. Let's talk about Dev's other homie. He's all Dev's homie, by the way. One Ozzie Guillen. Ozzie Guillen.
Let's get everybody mad.
Let's see what you guys feel about Ozzie Guillen and his thoughts on one Fidel Castro.
Yo, that man can't have an opinion.
You know you're not allowed an opinion in society.
Well, as a matter of fact, before we get to that, we got the homie Brent calling in. He wants to defend himself for the slander we sent his way earlier. Let me bring him on real fast.
Let me do that and then get back to Ozzie.
Yeah, no doubt. We can get his opinion on that as well. Brent, easily, you are in the war room. You're calling in to defend yourself. What do you got to say, good brother?
I'm not calling to defend myself. I'm just asking why am I being slandered on the World Wide Web. I just want to know why.
I mean, because you slandered the Flyers before the game.
Yo.
We were talking about how the Flyers won and, about how you were disrespecting the Flyers.
I tried to take up for you yesterday because you don't have, you can be a home, you can be a diehard fan and pick against the home team. If somebody asks you for your pick, I feel you on that.
Yeah. No Skittles, but you got to understand, Brent loves all silly teams, and he thinks they're going to lose every game.
Except for the Philly. He got a lot of optimism about the Philly.
No, that ain't even.
When I don't
that
have.
Ain't even,
protect,
that ain't even the Phillies, though,
the
that, that ain't even the Phillies. That's just.
That's
yo,
Doc Holliday,
man. That Doc Holliday can win even if the team loses.
All right, let me ask you. You want to bring up Doc Holliday? He did his job last year, didn't he?
Oh,
look at him. He wanted to defend Doc Holliday. He had nothing else he could.
Don't you say nothing about Doc.
Doc would be the best pitcher in the game.
If it's left up to you, Brent, Wyatt Earp didn't do nothing.
I don't do that work.
He's Doc Holliday's biggest fan. Let's ask you a baseball question while we have you on the phone. What are your thoughts on Ozzie Guillen, the whole situation?
My thoughts on the situation? Well, when you work for a company, you can't say. Especially your fan base in Miami is mostly Cubans anyway. A lot of the Cubans down there, Cuban Americans, don't like Castro from in the past and what he's done in the past for the last 50 plus years anyway. So you just can't come out and say, like, Fidel is the man or whatever the heck he said and alienate your fan base like that. New stadium. People are not going to want to come to the stadium because he's on the team now. They lose money. I mean, it's like a whole chain reaction.
First of all, though, Brent, a lot of these words that you're using, and you gotta use these words loosely with the Marlins. One being fan base, one being come to the stadium. What does the team average? Like 3,000 people? they're up in arms. This is my thing because remember the 5-game suspension was actually given to him by the Marlins. Bud Selig put out a statement saying he supported it. But this is basically the Marlins, you know, of course, they're just trying to douse the fire real quick. Because if it was that serious to them, they would have fired him. You know what I'm saying? So they're just trying to throw the Cuban community a bone. Like, all right, let's do something and see if it's enough to pacify these people. But
well, is it really throwing the Cuban people a bone? Because they're really still, like, from the interviews I saw on TV, it looked like a lot of people are still pissed.
No, but that's what I'm saying. They probably just did that as to kind of test the waters and see what it's going to be. Who knows? If they keep it up, they might force the Marlins to have to fire the dude. But my thing is, it's hard. Like if I'm running the Marlins, it's hard for me to try to discipline or even fire a coach that I handpick to pacify a community who really doesn't support my team anyway. Like, we're always last in attendance. Okay, well, I mean, that's the kind of support I need. If I build a new stadium, I need you to put your butt in the seat. Well, Brent, before anything else, you want butts in the seat. You think they like having all those empty seats down there? I'm going to need a little more support if you want me to ride that hard for y'all.
I think that the Miami Marlins should fire Ozzie Guillen and hire Bobby Petrino.
They'll be winning.
Tail down there.
They will be winning.
All them Latin stars. He wouldn't be no good. All that Latin tail.
Before we let you go, let me ask you this question. Since we were talking about you slandering the Flyers, do you still think they're going to lose the series?
Yes.
Hang on, front Brent. I'm still skeptical about it too. First of all, we shouldn't be down 3 goals to anybody. It was a spectacular comeback, but they shouldn't just come out the gate stomping on us like that.
Yep.
That kind of shows you who's a bad team.
Let's say one quick thing. They've been having slow starts for like the last many games. They've been having slow starts. You got two of the best players in the league on the Pittsburgh Penguins, two of the best players in the league. And three, do you really trust the goalie? I mean, he's out in space in the universe, and the aliens about to come down or whatever.
I guarantee you, if Doc Holliday played goalie, though, you'd have a different opinion.
Yeah, Doc Holliday was there. We'd be up. We'd win the series. Doc Holliday was the goalie.
Turn your head around. Lay on the ground.
Hey, the bottom is, like my man, what's his name, Andrew Gross? He even put the Flyers in the top echelon in the Eastern Conference when he was talking. He watches and covers more hockey than all of us.
He actually kind of giggled when we said we were Flyers fans. He kind of giggled at us. But, no, he did. He gave him a little bit of props, though. He said in that 4-5 matchup, he did say that both teams could be contenders and it's a shame that one of them has to lose in the first round.
Yeah,
he was being nice.
He did laugh at us, though, because – that's just because the Rangers own us, though. The Rangers own us.
That's the first time ever the Rangers have really owned the Flyers. But this year they really beat up on the Flyers the whole, you know, all year. So I think Pittsburgh is good. I mean, they've been to the finals 2 times in the last 5 years. They got some of the best players in the league. The goalie's not bad. He was a top draft pick when they drafted him.
But you want to be wrong on this, right?
I want to be wrong on it. I mean, I will parade, but I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't think it's happening. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, we came back and won. You were down 3-0. Like, come on. Like, hey, look. Watch. It's going to end pretty bad next week. On Facebook, you're going to see a lot of frowny faces and Crosby is a piss can and he's this, he's a crybaby. You're going to see a lot of that next week, I guarantee. And a lot of people are going to be upset saying, wait a minute. Flyers fans are just like Eagles fans. Eagles fans, they don't believe you know what stinks. You know what I'm saying? So
they're the same fans.
Come on.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, all right,
but yeah, man, we're going to have you back on sometime in the near future to get into this baseball season. But thanks for calling in, man. We wrapped up.
Thanks, Brent.
All right, Brent, you hit it on, too, so I can talk to him. Oh, we called out now. All right, man, we talk to you. All right, bye.
I'll slap the player hater song on him. That's going to be his theme song when he come on and do baseball.
When's he going to come on?
Wake up. Open the door.
I don't know, but Austin, what's your opinion on this Ozzie Guillen thing?
No.
I mean, because I understand what Brent said. Like, when we start to talk about freedom of speech, there is a difference between just outright freedom of speech and, you know, when you're working for a private organization. You know,
right.
You can't really say anything that's detrimental to their end goal.
Well, his freedom of speech wasn't tampered with. And a lot of times fans and sheep and lemmings, a lot of times people get that mixed up and they think, okay, well, there's been sanctions or punishment doled out within the context of sports or an organization within a league, and they say, well, what about his freedom of speech? His freedom of speech hasn't been violated because he hasn't lost his freedom as a citizen of this country. But as an employee of an organization, you can be censored because that organization isn't upheld by the Constitution to allow its employees the freedom to express things that are contrary to the fans or the market that they serve. So I don't think his freedoms were violated by that 5-game suspension. But I do think that the Marlins' move is just really to appease, you know, the Cuban community and those that are
You know why? You know why, B? Because it's a 5-game suspension with pay. The Marlins aren't mad at Ozzie Guillen.
Which means they're really not acknowledging that he did anything wrong. They're trying to play both sides of the fence, and secretly in a closed-door meeting, they're going to say, Ozzie, we know, we understand. Can you bite the bullet on this? We'll still pay you. We have no problem. Just keep your, you know, keep your mouth shut, you know, and please be smart about what comes out of your mouth. Pause.
I just have a problem with everybody who keeps crying about
quick, Dad,
the fan,
real,
you know.
Real quick. Real quick, because you said something on Facebook, and I feel, you know, I don't want to quote you, but that's kind of exactly how I feel. Like, people are comparing this or his statement to the plight of the Holocaust survivors, Jewish people, or, you know, the 400 years of slavery. Now, it is true that we as black people in this country play the race card.
When I said that, I've only heard people comparing it to the Jewish plight. Nobody's saying anything about black people. That's what kind of made me, you know, say what I said. And, you know, I try not to get into my black protectionist rants. It just struck me funny as every show that I listened to during the week, they kept saying, you know, this is like, you know, bringing up Castro. That's like their Holocaust and this and that. So I'm like,
man,
and these aren't Cuban Americans saying that stuff. So I'm like, why is everybody riding so hard for Cuban Americans? Because it kind of seems like when something happens and black people get offended about something, they're always kind of telling us to get over it. Like, slavery was a long time ago. The civil rights movement was back in the 60s. Get over it. So, you know, why are they not just telling these people down there to get over it? This is not coming from me. This is just like, you know, if that's what you're going to say to one group of people, why are you not treating, you know, it's a lot of people
riding
Cuban in Miami right now. Yeah,
all that being said, and then I'm a pass the mic in the cipher. I like Ozzie. I love his candor. You know, it's a position of War Room Sports that we are politically incorrect, and we say what we feel. And so it's refreshing to see someone else in the sports world who's not afraid to just blab off at the mouth and speak from their heart. You know, and so I appreciate that about Ozzie. He could have been smarter.
Funny comment from the chat room.
But he
in our chat room, Leroy said that Ron Washington's ass would have been fired. What do you think about that?
They probably caught him with coke in his pocket too, though, when they brought him up to the jump.
Or they might have planted it in his pocket. I didn't really want to get into the black protectionist rant because it really had nothing to do with the situation. It was just something that I noticed. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're kind of told to get over things, but
they've been talking all week about the Holocaust
and about, you know, Castro and all that kind of stuff.
We're more threatening, and most Cuban Americans can assimilate into Caucasian culture, maybe. I don't know. I'm just jumping out there.
You've been to Miami plenty of times. I don't think they've assimilated into nothing. They got their own little thing going
on
down there.
Shout out to Kizzy and Chicken George, man. That's all I got to say, man.
But what I was saying, like, I'm tired of hearing people crying about him insulting the Marlins fan base. The Marlins don't have a damn fan base. Now, there's one thing, because the new stadium is down in, like, Little Havana. So that's one thing. But, come on, you're talking like they're putting up Yankees numbers in the stands or something, and he just called all those people out. They have the worst attendance, and I don't know what Brent was talking about, like that didn't matter. That matters a lot if you can't fill your stadium, especially when you just bought a new one. It's going to be filled for a little while because it's new. But once the novelty wears off, and if the team doesn't live up to the expectations that they have this year, is it going to go back to what it was last year? I mean, we've seen the Marlins win two World Series and still can't fill the stadium.
That's crazy. You win two World Series in Philly, boy. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, we won one, and they had a sellout ever since. Every game.
Yeah, real talk.
We couldn't sell out the vet. We
should compete, we'll sell out. You ain't even got to be winner. Just compete, and we'll sell out. But, I mean, you know, it's different, though. They're in Miami. Most people who live in Miami aren't from Miami, so they're in that sense of, like, community. A lot of them are transplants. Hey, some even come from Cuba. But with that being said,
a lot of them come from Cuba.
Yeah, a lot of them do. But with that being said, it's like, it goes back to some of the topics we've always discussed when people get in trouble for, like, so-called speaking their mind. When you are an employee and you're under contract and you have certain clauses, the all-important morals clause, you have to pretty much watch what you say if you want to continue to collect the chicken. So, you know, I understand both sides. Because the reason we love Ozzie Guillen to begin with is because he does speak his mind. But, you know, there's actual consequences to speaking your mind. It is what it is.
Yeah. What do you think, PJ? You think it's a whole lot about nothing, or was this
serious
as they made it out to be?
No, I think y'all kind of covered all of, like, my position on that, man. It's like, I think they're making it a bit much. Like you said, freedom of speech means that you're free from being prosecuted from the things that you say. But it doesn't, I mean, when you work for an organization, you got to adhere to their bylaws. So, I mean, I don't think his freedom of speech was infringed upon. So, I think it's
his
more.
His press conference was way too long, yeah.
He came in ready to talk. He said he would talk to anybody. He talked in like five languages. Yeah, man.
Ozzy is entertaining. You say what you want to say about Ozzy, but he's very entertaining, yo.
What he wanted to get across with that, he said he didn't just want to release a statement because he thinks that's not really personal. And he wanted to sit there and, like PJ said, he wanted to talk to anybody who had a question, so they can kind of see that he was genuine in what he was saying. I've never seen Ozzy like this. Like, he usually says what he says and basically give you, like, a what. But, you know, he was really shook about this whole situation. I can kind of see why, because you do have to be sensitive to other groups of people and their plights. But still, I don't really think he said anything all that bad, because, you know, people take one part of the sentence, they don't really listen to the rest of the sentence, they don't listen to the context, and they just make their decisions from here. The article started off with the quote, "I love Fidel Castro." So before you get to read anything else, if you're Cuban-American, you're up in arms right there. Like, what the hell? But he basically was saying, you know, I'm surprised that he's been in power this long with this many people trying to take him out, basically for the stuff that he's done to people over the years. I really don't see much that's bad with it. He was giving the man props for being a jackass who's allowed to, you know, who's still in power. But Ozzy also has to recognize, I mean, that's a part of being a dictator. You Brody power. It's not like he got voted in the office all of these years. You Brody power. So.
Yeah.
He said he'll never, he said he's never going to publicly talk about politics again. So I've never heard anybody shut Ozzy up like this. So he must really want this job.
Yeah, he wants that job, and he want, you know, he wants that money too, because you make it a nice piece of change down there.
Yeah, I mean, and plus he's, you know, he's Latino, he's from Venezuela, so he doesn't want to look like he's just sold out the Latino community by singling out one of
their groups. The funny thing is, I understand what he was saying, but he didn't communicate it very well.
He can't talk. You know, that's why he did some of his press conference in Spanish, so nothing to get lost in translation, because.
It's like when you look at a lot of these dictators, they play chess in a way that you some people like will respect the way they move to stay in power. But with that being said, you have to look at all the people who are being oppressed by the dictator and understand like their feelings when you make these statements. But you know, I understand both sides. Like I said, I understand both sides of the argument, and I'll argue either one of them. But with that being said, we have to talk about another big story of the week. We have to talk about this is Brad's homie. We have to talk about Lamar Odom, a.k.a. Lamar Kardashian, a.k.a. Alex the Goon.
Who a.k.a. a.k.a. Lamb Lamb.
Lamb Lamb, there you go, the last one.
Hey,
Lamar
yeah.
Odom has been deactivated by the Dallas Mavericks. Yo.
Yo.
What's up with y'all, man, Alex the Goon, yo?
I wish we had that MC8 quote right now. Like, yo, I can like some real business right now.
Yeah.
You know, Lamar is on something different. I mean, we know he moped in the, you know, as soon as he left the Lakers, you know, his life seemed to turn upside down for him. But this is kind of a situation that he put himself in, because if you remember, when he was originally dealt to New Orleans, which is way worse than getting dealt to the defending champs, to an owner who basically spoiled the hell out of his players. Like, there could be worse situations, Lamar. But when he was dealt to them and David Stern, you know, blocked that trade, he could have just been, you know, not been sensitive, and he may still be a Laker. But what did he say when he came back? Oh, well, obviously they don't want me, so if you don't want me, then trade me. And then when they
that's real girly, man. Like,
Then when they trade you to the probably the best situation you could ask for, you act like, you know, they sent you to the D League or something. I don't get it.
The crazy part is, like, I read about the story how you know, Mark Cuban like basically stepped to him and was like, "Yo,
I'm here to tell you, Lino Brown says your services are no longer needed in the community."
And as soon as he said, who the fumble clock?
Because he was, like, moping or something during the game. So Cuban asked him, look, man, are you in or you out? Are you with us or are you not? And,
like,
Lamar kind of got offended. Like, you know.
Lamar is soft as tissue paper, man. It's like, this dude is probably the most outwardly emotional athlete I've ever seen in my life. Like, that just wears it on his sleeve. But like y'all said, he asked to be traded. He said, well, y'all don't want me. Then, like, he forgot the business that he's a part of. Like, he thought it was, like, he was back in Queens, New York, playing for the neighborhood team. Like, he forgot there was a business on top
Queens,
of his
yo.
Yeah. They don't owe you anything,
He ain't from Jamaica, Queens, man, because I don't know Queens,
Queensbridge.
He doesn't realize what a lot of casual fans don't realize is these teams don't owe you anything. Like, I keep hearing this word, loyalty, and there's no loyalty in sports, nor should there be loyalty.
All they owe you is that check. All they owe you is that biweekly check you get with David Stern's signature.
Which is a hell of a check.
On Twitter, Kevin Lang says that Lamar will be with the Clippers before June. He wants you to know you heard it there first. He thinks that he'll be a Clipper before June, so... however, that's going to work out. That's his prediction with Lamar Odom. It's funny because the teams definitely don't owe you anything. But just like, you know, bringing our topic even further is like, as a player, when you're a free agent, you really don't owe the team anything either. So it's kind of like the decision that LeBron and those guys made. That's their decision to make, and people slandered them for a lot of different reasons. I just didn't like his TV show, The Decision, so to speak. But this is a business. At the end of the day, this is a business on both sides. Teams can do what you whatever they want to do. You know, they're paying you for your services. You're an independent contractor, so therefore, if they don't want your services, they can send you somewhere else. And you as a free agent have the right to move as long as you want to. I have no problem with any of it. But the way he showed his emotions and the way he continued to act like a young lady is like, you know, I think Lamar Odom has a period.
But, you know, Jimmy, I tell you all the time, like, I'm with you. Like, the decision, the whole thing with LeBron, you know, that was weak. I kind of think it's weak where LeBron went. But I'm not mad at LeBron for leaving. He was a free agent. He could do whatever he had to do. If we want to be mad at anybody, you could be mad at the Carmellos, the Dwight Howard for what, you know, the situation he put them through before he finally decided to stay. Like, those dudes weren't free agents, and they were forcing their hands. So LeBron gets the most slander out of all of this, and he did it the right way, besides that egregious show.
Yeah, the decision kind of messed it up. My point in saying that is that this is a business, and I understand that teams try to preach this whole we're together, we're a team, we're a family. That's all cool when you're trying to make a run, but they will turn their trap on you in a heartbeat. You have to keep that in mind. Like, you guys are businessmen as well as athletes. So for him to
take
it that personal was crazy.
Yeah, you can't be mad at that because you're not playing for the Lakers no more. It doesn't mean you can't live in L.A. Like, you don't have to sell your career or nothing like that.
Mark Cuban was doing everything he could do to accommodate this dude. He got him. I mean, he didn't get him, but they got themselves into the, I think it was the W Hotel right across the street from the stadium, a nice penthouse joint there. Like, it wasn't, and they said he was consistently late to practice and shoot-arounds, like, all the time. And he right across the street.
Every player that has played for Mark Cuban talks about how great of an owner he is, including his current players, as well as players that don't even play there no more. Even cats that he's cut or traded talk about how great of an owner he is. It's like Lamar never gave him a chance, and dude was, like, bending over backwards. Now, we don't know everything that happened, but from what we see, it looks like he was bending over backwards trying to appease this guy. And Lamar was just like, look, you know, I miss Kobe.
Yo, that's like an $8 million a year investment. So, you know, he was definitely trying to do what he had to do to keep him.
This story and Lamar's behavior is so
it's laughable.
I can't even imagine being so dissatisfied or discontent with a blessing from God to play a child's game for millions and millions and millions of dollars. So I'm going to take another approach to this whole Lamar Odom thing and just attribute this all to the myriad of deaths that have occurred to him in recent years. You know, he's lost a lot of family. He married a refrigerator. There's so many things, I guess, behind the scenes that are weighing on him, and I guess that they're coming out.
This stuff happened before last year. He was fine last year.
I'm trying to find a way to reason.
Austin knows damn well he was smacking Frankenberry. But yo,
cool
people. It's like this stuff. I understand exactly where you're going with this, and you're trying to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. But
yo,
that stuff happened years ago.
Man, Roddy Boubois, didn't he just lose his pop? He not losing.
He lost his dad.
Yeah, he not losing his mind.
That's different than his pop.
But to huh?
You said that he loses pop. He said no, he lost his dad.
But taking it back to the Kardashians, and because a lot of people blame a lot of this on the reality show and, you know, him needing to be there to make the money with his wife and this and that, and a lot of people kind of put it on her sometimes. I'm not saying you were doing that also. You just reminded me, you know, bringing her up. It seems like that's different, though, because when they went to Dallas, she didn't act childish like he did.
She was
saying, all right, you go down there and I'm going to stay in L.A. She moved to Dallas. If you go by their show, a recently aired episode of, you know, when they first went down there,
she kept sweating him like, yo, let's go out and find a place to live. You know, if we're going to be here, let's go find a place to live. And he was moping around like, nah, I ain't trying to do that. Like, I ain't trying to.
I saw that.
You know,
I
like
saw
all the people
episode,
trying to
Dad.
Blame it on her. She's trying to be an adult about the whole thing.
She was trying to accommodate him. He wanted to curl up in a suitcase and just lay down. And she like, yo, let's do this. That's the first time you ever see Boyle, like, really with an attitude on that show. Like, tripping when he got traded,
usually,
and she was trying to help him.
Yeah, usually he's just a grown, a stand for their family. He loves their family.
Yeah, he do, especially her brother. They be acting a little weird, but that's a different segment.
Maybe that's who he missed. He missed Rob.
I know. We're Rob Kardashian that, man.
It is weird, though, because she really did try to handle it as if she understood
she
him
well.
An NBA wife. This is what happened.
Even when she
but
told him. Remember when he
it.
Told her? He told her she was in, like, New York, and she was like, I feel bad, I can't be there. She was just, like, trying to be real accommodating to the Bull and get everything done, and he just wanted to move.
I mean, TJ, if you were getting 25% of his net worth and his salary plus whatever, you'd be real
you'd be happy accommodating, too. Yeah, but
you always
know,
say that, though.
She
them Kardashians make more than all these dudes that they
yeah, I know.
That
no,
they deal with. People,
hear,
I hate when people
with,
try to put them off as, like, gold diggers. They make more money than all these cats.
Yeah, just their appearances too, and their mom is the truth because their mom is their manager and she's about that paper. Like she gets them booked for all kinds of stuff. She don't even let them do appearances for free. You can't go here. We gotta get that money. They mom be about it, but
yeah,
that's why they be making damn near 70
by
million.
Ray J was good for that whole family. They all get
exactly.
Paid
her mom probably that. Her mom probably planted that with Ray J. They mom and Ray J. They mom and Ray J. Probably worked on that. Like, look,
Ray J. Probably smanged her too, though. Ray J. No, did y'all hear what Tim Hardaway said about
like,
the ball?
Tim Hardaway said
about the ball?
Oh,
about who, Lamar? No, I heard what Barkley said. I ain't hear what Tim Hardaway said.
First of all, I wouldn't want him on my team. And second of all, you know, if he was on my team, I would, you know, really distance myself from him because I don't think that's right. And, you know, I don't think that
keep digging,
you know, he should be
keep
in a
digging.
Locker room while we're in a locker room. And it's just a whole lot of other things. So I wouldn't even be a part of that. But, you know, it's stuff like that going on, and there's a lot of other people out here like that that's still in the closet and don't want to come out the closet. But, you know, I just leave that alone.
Yo, that's some of the most ignorant stuff I ever heard in public, guys, in my lifetime. Yo, guys, he talked like they was animals, man. Yo,
how you talk about animals like that? Hey, TJ,
he kept going, though, yo.
You don't have a recourse. You ask for a trade?
I asked for him to get traded. one and other, or if he, you know, I something has to give, and I think the majority of the players would ask for him to be traded, or they would want to get traded.
But you'd be trading him to a team where he probably wouldn't be wanted there either, I would imagine.
Right, that is true. I'll just buy him out of his contract and let him go.
You know that what you're saying there, though, Timmy, is flatly homophobic, right? It's just it's bigotry.
Well, you know, I hate gay people, so you know, I let it be known. I don't like gay people. I don't like to be around gay people. I don't, you know, I'm homophobic. I don't like it. It shouldn't be in the world for that or in the United States.
Damn.
So yeah, I don't like it.
I mean,
yo,
that's how you feel.
That's how you verbally feel about Lamar.
Yo, the funny thing about that, y'all, is it sounds like it fit the situation that we talk about. It really sounds like it
did.
And by the way, the one interviewing Tim Hardaway was Cuban American Dan Le Batard.
Oh, that was Dan Le Batard. I couldn't even.
Yeah,
I know his pop.
Yeah, I see how you did that little Cuban American. I see what you did.
Yeah. Tim Hardaway. Oh my gosh.
Lamar Odom. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely has to man up in this situation. But Jim, you can go ahead.
I can't say what I really think. We get thrown off the air.
Yeah.
He said you can't tell you think we'll get thrown off the air.
Yeah,
we're
about to
get
go
out of
anyway,
here, man.
Don't get us thrown off.
Bad enough we played what Tim Hardaway said about Lamar Odom. Anyway, thanks for joining us in the war room this evening, family members. Shout out to everyone who watched us in the chat room. Facebook, Twitter, called in. Special thanks to Rangers writer Andrew Gross. And also, Kyle Sefcik, the MMA fighter and businessman, for taking time with us tonight. If you're in the Maryland, D.C. area, be sure to visit the MMA and Sport Grand opening on Saturday. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to hear the general speak. We'll be catching you up on all the biggest stories of sports. And until next week, everybody, find us online. Easy.
I drink a letter, ain't no one better. And when I'm on the microphone, you best to wear your sweater, cause I'm cooler than a polar bear's toenails. Oh hell, there he go again, talking that shit. Bend corners like I was a curve, I struck a nerve, and now you're about to see the southern player serve. I heard it's not where you from, but where you pay rent. Then I heard it's not what you make, but how much you spend. You got me bent like elbows, amongst other things, but I'm not worried. Cause when we set up in the party, like I'm out too scurry. So we'll get your fucking sign box and your sack of nickels. It tickles to see you try to be like Mr. Pickles. Daddy Fat Tax, B-I-G-B-O-I is that same motherfucker that took them knuckles to your eye. And I try to warn you not to test, but you don't listen. Giving a shout out to my Uncle Donnell, locked up in prison.
Now throw your hands with the hater and wave them like you just don't care. And if you like fish and grits and all that pimp shit, everybody let me hear you say, oh yeah, sir. Now throw your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. And if you like fish and grits and all that pimp shit, everybody let me hear you say, oh yeah, sir.
My oral illustration be like clitoral stimulation to the female gender. Ain't nothing better, let me know when it's wet enough to enter. If not, I wait, because the future of the world depends on if or if not the child we raise gon' have that nigga syndrome. I will it know to beat the arts regardless of its skin tone. I will it feel that it's in tune and it just might get picked on. I will it give a fuck about what others say and get gone. The alienators, cause we different, keep your hand to the sky. Like sounds of blackness when I practice what I preach and don't lie. I be the baker and the maker of the beats of my pie. Now break a breaker, tenfold, can I get some reply? Now everybody say,
hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. And if you like fish and grits and all that pimp shit, everybody let me hear you say, oh yeah, sir. Now hold your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. And if you like fish and grits and all that pimp shit, everybody let me hear you say, oh yeah, sir.
Every day I sit while my nigga be in school thinking about the second album at the dungeon shooting pool like ES to the PA, cause we just to be in the zone. Honey, I'm home, but I'm not married, carried a lot of problems around being frustrated. And now I'm sitting at the end of the month, I just made it like you made the B team and like your daddy's wife, you making a call. You heard the AT alien, so back the hell up off. Softly, as if I played piano in the dark. Found a way to channel my anger, not to involve. The world's a stage and everybody got to play their part. God works in mysterious ways, so when he starts the job of speaking through us, we be so sincere with this here. No drugs or alcohol, so I can get the signal clear as day. Put my Glock away, I got a stronger weapon that never runs out of ammunition, so I'm ready for war, okay?
Throw your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. And if you like fish and grits and all that pimp shit, everybody let me hear you say, oh yeah.